Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, September 2nd, 2008 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. Alderman Gist has some personal family issues that she has to deal with tonight and will not be here. And Alderman Haven O'Donnell asked me to let you all know that she is she has an even bigger assignment than me tonight. She is supervising 100 sixth graders, I think, at out at the coast as a part of I'm not sure what, but some sort of science fair or something along those lines. So she will be back with us next week, and we'll be watching a webcast of this at a later time. Okay. Also, I wanted to let you all know that I did let Senator McCain know how much I appreciated his invitation, but that, you know, I was really committed to the people of Carrboro. And although I do feel that as mayor of Carrboro, I have a greater degree of foreign policy experience than perhaps many towns our size. Anyway, we have, is Lauren Branford here tonight? Lauren, if you would come up before and stand before the town clerk. Lauren is joining the appearance commission for the town of Carrboro and will receive his charge this evening.
I'll read this to you and have you sign off on it. Okay. As a member of the Appearance Commission and Neighborhood Preservation District Commission, you will, number one, initiate, promote, and assist in the implementation of programs of general community beautification within the town's planning jurisdiction. Two, seek to coordinate the activities of individuals, agencies, organizations, groups, and public and private whose plans, activities, and programs bear upon the appearance of the town and its environs. Three, direct the attention of the mayor and board of aldermen to ways in which the town government may take action affecting the appearance of the town and its environs. Four, make recommendations upon any permit or other item referred to the commission by the board of aldermen, planning board, board of adjustment, or zoning administrator. Five, appoint subcommittees consisting of commission members or advisory groups consisting of members, persons who are not non-commissioned or not non-commissioned members or any combination thereof to advise and assist the commission in carrying out its duties. And six, take any other action authorized by the Carrboro Board of Aldermen.
Absolutely. Can we read this together later?
Of course. Okay. I'll send you a copy.
It's been written by our town attorney.
If you would like to meet the board, please.
One more. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll turn to the consent agenda. Mr. Manager.
Item one is an appointment to the Environmental Advisory Board. Item two, reassignment of Board of Aldermen liaisons for the Transportation Advisory Board and the Transportation Advisory Committee. Item three is an ordinance amending the town code to remove the public hearing requirements before closing streets for the Frangelism in the Park event and approving the street closing permit application for this year's event. Item four, appointments to the Greenways Commission.
Move adoption.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Item D1, Owassa drought update.
The board, while Ed's coming up, you all had asked for an end of the summer report, and of course Ed seems to bring rain or the threat of rain, including a threat of a hurricane this time around. So.
There you go.
Hurricane Ed. All right.
Good evening.
Hello.
Here's the news is good on the water supply front. The reservoirs are 79% full as of today, and that's a pretty reasonable level given this time of year. Customer demand remains low, and I have more on that later, which has really been a success story for our community, and all that means the risk of a shortage is low at the current time. This was the North Carolina drought status just prior to last week's rains, the rains we received Thursday, Friday. And you can see we were right on the edge of moderate to severe drought. In fact, our King Creek Reservoir has received less rain this year than University Lake, being a little further west. But this is a forecast that NOAA provides. It was updated August 21st, and it was projecting through November improvement in drought conditions in our area, and we certainly have seen that come through, again, with 4 to 5 inches of rainfall last week, and perhaps more in store for us at the end of this week. As I said, we're 79% full, and you can see how that compares to previous year. Those diamonds are September 2nd, going back since 1996. The customer demand is really remarkable. I have a table that follows that illustrates that. But you can see in 2008 that each month except June is measurably lower than customer demand in 2007. And that has continued this summer, July and August. Why is June 2008 higher than June 2007? You may recall it was incredibly hot. We had 100-degree days in June. It was also dry in the early part of June. But other than that, 2008 customer demand is lower than it was last year. And we issued an advisory last August 2007. We were in stage one in September 2007. And come October, we were in stage two. In March of this year, we were in stage three before getting much needed rains and backing out of that. This table looks at the period May through September. First, just comparing September 1st storage in 2002, we were at only 39% of our capacity in 2002, and we got to a low of about 32% of our capacity in October before the rains came. This time last year, we were about 68% full. As I said, we're currently 79% full. And you can see comparative rainfall data during that period, May through September, for those 3 years, as well as average inflow to our reservoirs. But look at the big difference down here on customer demand. In 2002, from May through September, the water we drew from the reservoirs averaged almost 12 million gallons a day. Now, in 2005, we made an improvement at the water plant that allowed us to reduce that number about 8% through recycling. But really, besides that, the difference between this number and this number 6 years later our conservation habits of our customers. Demand is much, much improved, and that is an important part of our success story. So again, thanks for conserving. Their year-round measures remain in effect. The WASA board gave us the green light at their meeting last Thursday night to proceed soliciting stakeholder and official feedback on possible changes to the conservation standards. I know a number of you made suggestions about the current standards. We've developed some work between the staff and a committee of the board, and we will be back to the community having open meetings as well as this board and other boards to solicit your comments on possible changes. And if I can just take a minute to pitch the voluntary customer assistance program called the Taste of Hope. And this is where a WASA customer can voluntarily have us round up their bill to the next whole dollar, and then those monies are provided to the Interfaith Council here in town to help a WASA customers pay their water bills. Only 5% of our customers are participating in this program now, so we really want to get the word out of this voluntary program to help customers in need. And as you know, we have a sizable rate increase taking effect October 1st. And given the economy in general, we know needs will be increasing. So we really appreciate WASA customers participating in that program. And they can also donate directly to the Interfaith Council if they wish. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Yeah, Ed, do you know when you expect to be back to us on the new rate structure?
The conservation standards, yeah. Before the end of September, we hope to have a community meeting, a customer meeting, a stakeholder meeting. And then once we have the benefit of that larger feedback, we want a targeted meetings with elected officials. Your staff has participated. Many of our customers have participated. We listen carefully to your comments, other customer comments during the last year under restrictions. So we have addressed a number of things in a working draft that we heard, like public purpose pools and parks, and should they be treated differently than other customers. So I don't have a specific time frame. We'd like to get it complete by this fall, so this year certainly, but again, before the end of September, we hope to have a well-publicized community meeting to solicit feedback.
Okay. Thank you.
Ed, how long have we had the Taste of Hope option?
I don't recall exactly, 5 or 6 years at least, I would say, and it raises about $6,000 or $7,000 a year. And in the early years of that program, local needs were being met. Then excess money was provided to Water Partners International to help developing country with water needs. But in talking to Chris Moran and his staff that does a great job administering that program, local needs is just increasing tremendously. So again, more participation through this voluntary program is being requested. Again, only 5% are participating. We're certainly grateful for that 5%. And our customer newsletter features the program this month. I've left information with Drew to promote it here at Town Hall, and we'd like to see participation increase.
Can you sign up electronically?
You can shoot us an email, call us. There's information on our website at wasa.org that can help you do that. It's very easy. And it's a voluntary program, and if you decide to withdraw from the program, it's easy to do that as well.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Item D2, an update on the Green Bridge project from the developer. Yeah.
The purpose of this item is to allow the Green Bridge development an opportunity to update the board on the status of the Green Bridge project with regards to scheduling of night work and potential impacts on traffic and noise. And as the board knows, this project is in Chapel Hill, but the developers of the Green Bridge project have been kind enough to come in and give the board and the community an update on things that will obviously impact folks who live and work in Carrboro. So we have representatives. I'm not sure their names, so I'll ask you all to come forward and introduce yourselves, if you will.
Well, thank you for letting us speak with you tonight. My name is Frank Phoenix. I'm one of the partners in Greenbridge. I'm here representing Greenbridge. And with me tonight are Brad Snyder and Steve Allison. They are with our contractor, Weaver Cook Wilson. My role tonight is to give you a brief introduction, and then Steve and Brad will present our plan. The focus of the plan is the pouring of concrete at Greenbridge, and that Greenbridge is a concrete structure, and that means a lot of concrete and a lot of concrete trucks. We started excavating about 3 months ago, and essentially what we've done is we've gone down, we've got an acre and a quarter site, we've gone down 30 feet to accommodate two levels of underground parking. About a month ago, we started pouring concrete. We started pouring the footings and foundation. And soon, once we finish the footings and foundation, the rate and volume of concrete that we're pouring is going to increase significantly. When that happens, we will start pouring 3 days a week and two nights a week. And we'll be closing lanes on either Graham or Rosemary Street during the day. And at night, we'll be closing either Graham or Merritt Mill. And at night, we'll be closing either Graham or Merritt Mill. So again, 3 days a week and two nights a week. The nighttime work will generate some noise. And that noise has the potential to impact some Carrboro residents. And that's why we're here, to share with you our plan, the reasoning for the night work, what we will do to mitigate the effects of the noise on the Carrboro residents, to answer any questions, and to solicit input. So if there, we encourage you to ask questions at any point during the presentation. If there are no questions now, and I'm happy to answer questions, I'll turn it over to Brad and Steve, and they can present the plan. But first, if there are any questions. Okay.
Again, I'm Brad Snyder. I'm with Weber Cook Wilson, the construction manager on the project. Frank did a great job at giving a quick overview of what was actually going on out there. There is going to be a lot of concrete coming pretty soon, and we're trying to find ways to reduce the impact on in both Chapel
Excuse
Hill
me.
And Carborough.
Are we supposed to see that picture? Are we not supposed to see that?
Why don't you move it back?
Move it back.
That's good.
Thanks.
Basically, for those of you not familiar with the project, it's a 7 and 10-story tower on top of the 2-story parking garage that Frank was talking about, and there is a lot of concrete that will be going into the building. In order to minimize the impact on the community, we've come up with the idea, the plan, to pour this concrete at late hours. Most everything around our job site, it takes up pretty much a city block or most of the city block. Most of the property around is commercial property. We basically have a plan to make those pours, as Frank said, a couple times a week, once a week or twice a week between September and May of next year. The impact on Merritt Mill is going to be about 28 road closures. Our plan is to start at 2 a.m. in the morning and basically be out of there by 7 a.m., thereby reducing the impact on the business travel, the leisure travel, and school bus travel, items like that. The DOT, Merritt Mill is a DOT road, and they've been presented the plan and have signed off on it. We've also contacted the property manager at the mixed-use building on the corner of Merritt Mill and Rosemary, and she is aware of it, and most of their residents, about 70% of the residents, have moved into that property since the project has been announced or started. During our road closures, there will be limited access that will not block the driveways or the travelways for the mixed-use project on the corner, the barber shop, or the church on the corner as it relates to Merritt Mill Road. On the Graham Street side, we also have taken in similar considerations for the businesses on that road, which is in Chapel Hill and not of immediate concern here tonight, I guess. We'll also notify EMS. We'll call 911 and schedule these pours. And so they're notified of the lane closures and any kind of impact that may have on police, fire, or ambulance traffic. The way we're going to traffic the pours, the concrete trucks are going to be coming from Hillsborough down Martin Luther King, basically make a right turn on the West Franklin Street, or on the Franklin Street, come on down towards the job site, and depending on which road is being closed at the time, if it's for the Merritt Mill pour, they'll come down Graham Street, make a left onto Rosemary, and then come back onto Merritt Mill. That's where the trucks will be positioned in front of the concrete pump. Likewise, when the pours are on Graham Street, they'll come on down, make a right on Merritt Mill, make a right on Rosemary, and then turn back up Graham Street to reach the concrete pump. Steve, you have any additional comments about the flow of the traffic patterns there?
Yeah, that's correct.
Are there any questions from the alderman?
So what's the expected noise impact?
Noise impact will be the actual noise of the concrete pump and the trucks making their way to the site. And as the pump reaches out into the job site pours, there is noise there.
Is the pump noisier than a truck, say, or I mean, I'm trying to get a sense.
Yeah, it's louder than a regular automobile. It's, it's a piece of heavy equipment. It's uh-huh. probably like a garbage truck or something comparable.
Okay.
Is it a continuous sound that'll happen from the time they get there until they're finished, or what?
It kind of winds up, winds down, winds up. You know, it is noisy, in fact, and it will kind of get a little louder than a little quieter. when they show up at 2 a.m., they'll actually set up the pump, and then the pouring starts at 3, and you'll hear the concrete trucks and the pump.
So like from 3 to 6:30 or so, it'll be up and down, up and down?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they'll actually break the equipment down and be out of there at 7.
How much light
do
you expect?
There will be lights. We'll position the lights away from the residential areas. I won't say 100%, but as much as possible. They won't be pointed in the direction of the residences. They'll be pointed away. But since it is nighttime work, we'll have light poles on those decks. That's correct.
You mentioned it just now, but I had actually noted when I last stopped by to peek through the fence at your work there, the use of a certain concrete company or cement manufacturer that's located up in Hillsboro. And I'm curious, the subject came up with my friends while we were watching what you're doing, why you would choose to buy your concrete from an establishment that's 8 or 9 miles away when you're, and I'm not really advocating that you do differently, but I'm just, it seems strange to me. There's a concrete plant that's 2 blocks from this site.
There is.
And it's a lot of concrete you're moving.
It is a lot. Several factors. There's price consideration. There's mixed designs that are available to suit the project. This is a LEED Gold project using a lot of fly ash in the cement and the concrete, and which is a recycled product from coal use and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Many facets to the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Ready Mix did quote the project as well as Chandler.
Okay. It's helpful to know. Thanks.
What's the size of the crane, given the steeple accident?
The crane that's out there right now, it's about 186 feet tall.
So you're going to use the same crane?
There'll be a concrete pump that will be feeding, the concrete trucks will be feeding this concrete pump, which is a big oversized vehicle, again, like a garbage truck, and it has outriggers that will extend to stabilize it on the road. For these pours that we're talking about, the slab pours, those will be done with that pump. Now, other pours will be accomplished using that crane that's out there, and we have used that. There's a concrete bucket on the end of the crane that we basically fill with concrete, send it over, put it on a, drop it into a column or wherever it may go, or a wall.
And so you're working to sort of avoid the problems that occurred that resulted in the steeple problem.
In North Carolina, the crane companies are their own, have their safety programs themselves. They're not monitored by the state or local governments, and they have their own safety programs, as well as Weaver Cook Wilson has a safety program as well.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, are y'all going to take safety measures so that we would have to be having this little, what I call, most difficult conversation about safety? And I understand that they're responsible, but you're the general contractor. And if something happens, the community is going to hold you responsible.
They do,
not liability legally, but certainly in community goodwill.
Oh, yeah. We understand.
Okay. I'm not certain that 2 to 7 a.m. is the best time to do this work based on your presentation, but it's, as far as I know, not my decision at all about how you go about it. So I appreciate your coming and letting us know what the situation is or what the plan is, and we'll look forward to staying in touch with you as the project proceeds. And Frank, thank you for coming here tonight, and for all that you all the volunteer work that you do for our community as well.
You're welcome. Let me just say that one of the two reasons we're doing it in the morning is the volume of trucks coming through town mm-hmm. during the day. It really would disrupt traffic during the day, so it really only makes sense to do it when there's no traffic on the road. So that's why we pick that time. Plus, it's also a temperature issue with the curing of this mm-hmm. concrete, especially mm-hmm. the high recycled content. So the colder the temperature, mm-hmm. the better the cure, the stronger mm-hmm. the concrete. So that also plays into why we want to do this early morning as opposed to.
Okay, well, we all want the building to be strong, so. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Item D3, Mr. Manager.
Okay. This is a Transportation Advisory Board letter to the Transit Partners. Transportation Advisory Board is offering suggestions for improving the annual transit forum and has prepared a letter to that effect. Heidi Perry is here to present the letter with a request for the board's support. Heidi.
Good evening. I think you all have read the letter. I don't know if you want me to read it into the minutes, but I can sum it up. Each year we have a transit forum. For the last several years, it's been held jointly with Chapel Hill's Transportation Board. And each year it begins with a rather dismal view of the budget. And so before anyone even has a chance to say what might be improved about the system, the feeling is that we'll be lucky to keep what we have. And so people make their requests known every year, and then I think they get put in a drawer, and then the next year people come back, and a lot of people are different people with the same requests, and those get put in a drawer. And there doesn't seem to be anything done with those requests that are in the drawer. So it seems to me that we're giving people the appearance that their voices are being heard, but there's not really any visible sign that that's happening. And so it's very frustrating to us. I mean, it takes a lot of time, and a lot of people come to the meetings, and David Bonk makes his presentation of the budget, and we have Steve Spade there from Transit System and somebody from TTA. And so we were just thinking that maybe there could be a better way of getting the information consolidated after the meetings, and then having some system where you could see from year to year what had been accomplished from the requests that were made by the public. And so that was what prompted our letter, and our suggestions on how to improve the forums were, one was to have two representatives from the Board of Aldermen and the Chapel Hill Town Council there. This just makes it easier for you all to find out what happened, because by the time we bring it back to you, I'm sure we all lost a little bit of it. To provide a publicly available list of requests and comments from the past forums with current responses and actions from the Chapel Hill Transit. To announce prior to the forum that there will be a review of the past issues and begin the forum with the recap of the previous year. After that, the TAB can prioritize requests from the forum and present them to the Board of Aldermen for review. And then also to invite the university representatives to attend or consider combining it with the University Transit Forum, which is usually held sometime within a few weeks, I think, of when we hold ours. So those were our requests, and I don't know if you have any questions.
Yeah, I do. Heidi, I think these are great suggestions, and I think we'll help a lot in improving the process. I wonder if, did you all discuss the issue of the expectations of the public who attends on the fact that coming to the forum and raising something might imply that the something would be like fixed or implemented, and the unlikelihood of that happening? And
I think the expectation is that it will be considered, and that it will either be acted on, or there will be a reason given that it hasn't been acted on, rather than that it is just ignored. So when people come back, I mean, we hear the same requests every year. You know, people want more evening service, they want more weekend service, they want more frequent Saturday service, and then you also have new neighborhoods that want new routes put in, but some of those stay the same. And then sometimes there will be somebody who always rides a certain bus that hooks up with a TTA bus, and it routinely gets there 3 minutes after the TTA bus leaves. And they wonder, is there any way that you can fix the schedule without, you know, putting a lot of other bumps in it along the way, so that this bus doesn't miss the TTA bus every day by 3 minutes? I mean, there are just simple things like that. Sometimes there are complaints about buses that arrive early, often at the same spot, or laid at the same spot. So, but they're very similar every year.
Right, and those are kinds of things that we should be able to address, especially with the improvements. Some of the small things
that are just little adjustments, I think, can be acted on, and sometimes they may even be acted on, but...
Nobody knows.
Right. There's no record of it anywhere.
Yeah, again, just to reiterate, I think this is a great outline for, like, having some continuity through the process. And I think the one thing I would want to add is that I think, you know, this describes kind of what happens in the forum itself. I think subsequently the partners need to get an itemized response from transit staff that we can not only then share with your board and this board, but I think also everyone who attends the forum should get feedback that, like, their input didn't go into a vacuum and that, you know.
And that's why we said maybe there could be a publicly accessible list on the transit website or something.
I'm thinking of a more active response that they actually got an email or a letter if need be with the response so they can be informed. Anyway, I'll move the item. Not foreclose other comments.
I'm going to make one additional comment. I keep having this idea and not having a great, not thinking of a great opportunity to bring it up. But since we're referring something to the Transit Partners Committee, I would like to suggest that we also ask the Transit Partners Committee to, at some point, not necessarily all that soon, but at some point, consider the possibility that we can reconsider the name Chapel Hill Transit. And the reason I mention this is that the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and the town of Carrboro both are partners in this endeavor, and we both, in our own proportions, invest very large amounts of money in the operation of the public transportation system. And it seems to me that the name Chapel Hill Transit does not entirely recognize the partnership that is represented by the program.
Yeah, we actually made progress on that with the new buses that now, as well as Chapel Hill Transit, say something like serving Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and UNC. But part of the issue there is that it's actually Chapel Hill that has the status of being able to be the receiving entity for federal and state grants, specifically Chapel Hill, like not the system, including Carrboro and UNC, and that, you know, it's by participating with Chapel Hill.
Well, I appreciate that, and I don't want to belittle what Chapel Hill does to make the system operational, but I think you know, I can imagine a name like Carolina Transit or something like that that might capture
Southern Orange Transit.
whatever it might be. But, you know, I mean, the idea that it might run one day into Chatham County has actually been mentioned, too, though. So, anyway, I just wanted to lay it out on the table that I think that Carolina Transit would be a more accurate name for the organization. So I'll just put that out there as something for y'all to think
about. I would
about.
Like to comment that, of course, UNC funds a large portion of the transit. However, I discovered this year that the money they fund the transit system with is the money they get from parking. So that means that the more successful they are in getting people out of their cars, the less money they have to give to transit.
Well, this is partly true, although in fairness, we'll point out that actually a lot of the money comes from UNC student fees as well, so which...
They did say that their budget, as fewer people park on campus, that they don't
that
have
it
so
impacts
much,
their
yeah, impacts
their ability.
Their
well, I'm not surprised to hear that, and I'm sure it's true. But I do know this: when we went fare free, the students, it was partly because the students voted to increase their student
right.
fees.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it is a mix of sources that go into it. But in any case, anyway.
Heidi, what's the date of the upcoming forum? Do you remember offhand?
I don't think it's been set yet.
Oh, it hasn't? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Athena? It's not been set? Okay.
It's usually, I think we tried to do it in the fall now,
right.
Like around November.
Yeah. All right. Well, there is a motion, and it's been seconded that we refer this, or that we pass this resolution, which is going to forward this to the partners the Transit Partners Committee, to our delegation on the Partner Transit Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Sarah, could you
don't go far, Heidi.
Send this to Steve Spade and ask that it be put on the agenda for the upcoming Partners Committee.
Okay. Item D4.
Okay. This is a Smith Level Road, the project U2803, the North Carolina Department of Transportation response to the town's June 19, 2007 resolution. You have a copy of that response in your agenda packet. Adina Messinger, our transportation planner, is here and has a brief presentation basically outlining DOT's response if you want to hear that, or if you'd like Adina to come forward if you have any questions or comments for her that you want shared back with DOT, whatever the board's pleasure is.
What is the board's pleasure?
I just want to ask a question.
All right.
But that's just me.
I'm good.
That sounds like that's the board's pleasure, so yeah. Go ahead.
I don't understand why crosswalk markings at the roundabout won't improve pedestrian safety. I just, and maybe I'm thinking of it too much common sense in terms of if, you know, there's a, because somebody's going to try to cross the street near there. And so I don't understand why not having crosswalks where it's safe for you to walk, and maybe I'm just a little bit confused.
Isn't that what they're saying, that yeah. They are going to install them where
no,
it's appropriate?
No, well.
It is a little confusing.
See?
But what does where they are, who decides where they're appropriate?
I was clearly the most confused.
They are planning to do crosswalks, but they're trying to, I guess, say here is that anywhere where there's not going to be a sidewalk that can receive the crosswalk, then the crosswalk would not be put in until the time when that sidewalk is put in. However, they are planning on putting sidewalks along that area, so by default they will be putting in the crosswalks as well. There won't. The thing that they said they're not going to put in are signals at the pedestrian signals at the roundabout, but crosswalks, yes. Okay.
Well, yeah, I was a little confused by. In one sense, I thought they were putting down sidewalks that really will lead to nowhere until sidewalks come to meet them. But then they also say they don't want to create sidewalks to nowhere. So I was just a little confused about that.
Well, I think that the sidewalks that they're going to be putting in will span the length of the project, so from the bridge up until about Woodcrest, I think, and then a little bit down Culberth as well. So as far as the roundabout goes, it's covered by the sidewalks. And I think that in general, they're just restating their policy that they have about crosswalks to nowhere.
When you say around Culbreth, that doesn't include that whole length that a citizen had emailed about a couple months ago.
I think there might be still a little piece that will be missing. It's going to extend, I think, to Carrboro's, the town line between Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Where there's an existing sidewalk that comes out of the development. But there might still be a piece that will be missing.
I feel confident that there'll be a piece missing.
somewhere.
It's on the Chapel Hill side, though, isn't it, Adina? There's
I
a
think
dip
so, yeah.
there that's in the Chapel Hill jurisdiction.
Yeah. We won't say.
Okay. So where does that leave the status of this project at this point, I think, is basically my question.
So
this expedited project.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've only got 17 years to go.
Well, the schedule, as it's been communicated so far, is that in November of this year, they plan to complete their environmental document and select an alternative, one of the design alternatives, I guess, that they're working on. They'll be presenting that design to the town in March of 2009 and having a public hearing on the design in April of 2009. Mm-hmm. And they expect that the construction will still begin in 2011.
And is there a, is there another decision point? Do you anticipate another sort of decision point for the town of Carrboro about this project?
Yes. I believe when they prepare the preferred design option, that will be another opportunity for the town to weigh in and comment and discuss with DOT.
The only reason I ask is I kind of recall, but it doesn't seem like we addressed it in our previous round of comments on this project, but I kind of recall that at the informational session about this project in back in
November of last year.
Was it November of last year? Oh, yes, I think it was like 2 days before the election last year. At that informational meeting, there was at least one person who, a homeowner, I think, in Berry Hill, who at the corner of Smith Level Road and the very south end of Berry Hill, whose yard was, now there are several people whose yards might be impacted, but one person in particular whose yard was, seemed as though it were going to be extremely heavily impacted by the increased amount of right-of-way and like temporary construction easements and this type of thing. Mm-hmm. For this project, is that an issue that we raised with the Department of Transportation at all about?
If it was brought up at the public workshop in November of last year, they are still supposed to be preparing the comments from that workshop, and I believe they will be incorporating those comments in their next revision of the design. But I'll check in with them and just see if they've got any more concrete responses to questions like that.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is I think it might, I mean, if it isn't entirely too late to say something about it, I think there are some additional burdens on some residents of Carrboro that this project is gonna put down, and for my part, I kind of accept that as a reality of the situation along Smith Level Road. But if what this one homeowner was saying is proves to be correct about the design, at least that we saw last year, then it seemed more burdensome than it really needed to be for at least one particular property owner. And I think it was basically the person who lives in the basically southeasternmost lot in all of Berry Hill.
Okay.
And I would just like a little further information about what the impact is on that lot and of the project as it was proposed last November, and potentially for us to, well, and then we'll see whether that merits any further comment from the town. How about that?
As it was last proposed, or as it's going to next be proposed?
Well, I think it's hard to know how it's next going to be proposed. But what I want to know is how was it last proposed, because that might be a point of that would be worthwhile for some feedback.
A follow-up question.
Yes.
So when they're going to prepare the preferred design, will we see that in March or April?
In March.
Okay.
Presuming that that the project remains on the rapid schedule on which it's been.
That's all I'll say.
I think for those of you who don't know that this project began, this began as a discussion between the Department of Transportation and the Town of Carrboro, I think about 15 years ago. Okay. Anyway, is there anything else, board members? All right.
Thanks, Adina.
Thank you, Adina. Yeah. All right. We have. Are there any other matters from the staff before we consider the possibility of an executive session?
I just want to ask: do you want to adopt anything for us to respond back? There were a couple of staff comments in the agenda packet on this topic.
Well, we'll move adoption to suggested DOT, the staff comments, if that's the resolution or whatever the resolution is.
It's the motion.
Okay.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Were there any other items from staff. Board members have any items before we consider executive session? We've had a request from our attorney and to meet in closed session to discuss a matter involving attorney-client privilege and also to discuss a potential property acquisition issue. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we go into closed session or executive session. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passed unanimously. If all of y'all will pardon us, we are going to close the doors.